Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 42.
In this episode's bits, we'll talk about Obsession, Res Arcana, Ice Cool, Tudor, Hyantis, Nagaraja. We'll discuss give you our haphazard predictions for the 2019 Spiel des Jahres and Dice Tower Awards, and get up to our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits.
And talking about sports.
So this... I'm going to go back and edit this because our hot topic today is not the Dice Tower Awards. It is the Toronto Raptors winning the 2019 NBA Championship. How excited were you, Michelle?
I didn't know it was happening.
You knew or you didn't know?
I did not.
Because I feel like the first couple of games, I think I was texting you, but then I stopped.
Yeah.
So then you knew and then didn't know.
I mean, I was happy for everybody, if that means anything.
I cried. So. Legit tears,
sure,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Tears of joys. Tears of joys. Tears of joy. I was very excited. Unlike a lot of these Raptors fans these days, Michelle, I've been there since the beginning. Mm-hmm. 24, 25 years. I've seen the Raptors play in the Sky Dome in Toronto. That's how OG I am. So, you know.
Whoa, I totally get that reference. That's crazy.
You totally have that reference. So this episode will be all about Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam and the Toronto Raptors.
The sports folk.
Whose bits are we going to talk about first?
I was playing a board game, but I'm sure I can't remember which one it was.
No, you know, there aren't really the game. Any basketball board games, are there? Now that I think about it.
I don't think so. I don't think there's one.
Or, like, good
ones. Bitsers, let us know if there is one.
Yeah, let us
know. I can't think of one.
Let us know on the social medias. You know, there's for baseball and football, and there's a pretty big one, a hockey one out there on Kickstarter. Just ended Kickstarter now.
Yeah, that's, like, with the 3D minis, right?
Yeah. But I can't think, other than, you know, those basketball games, which I'm sure you're aware of this, where you, like, flick the ball. They're, like, desk games, you know, the ball's on, like, a little slingshot thing, and you flick it into the hoop. That's all I know. Those are the only basketball games I can think of.
Yeah, I can't think of any I've seen. There's probably one from the 80s, but.
Probably. Anyway, I guess that'll be our basketball talk now, since I guess people didn't come here.
Oh, God. We actually did talk about sports. Mm-hmm. We joke about talking about sports, but then we actually talk about sports.
I feel like we always do that, actually. You're a closet.
No, you talk about sports.
That's true. So I can't call you a closet sports fan then?
No.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I try, but then I just do the Twitters.
For a second there, I thought maybe there was some hope for you, but I guess not.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Playoff hockey once in a while.
Hockey, yeah. Hockey's not really a sport, though, so it's fine.
Okay.
Worst Canadian ever.
Okay, we're still talking about sports. Okay. Oh, my God. I have a question for you.
Ask me a question.
That's our sound for Ask Me Anything, which is a bit where we ask each other anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything. Sean, what's your current favorite song?
Like, musical song?
Yeah.
Oh. Anything by Jack Johnson is my current and always favorite song.
Pair a board game with it.
I love Jack Johnson.
Yeah, he's good.
I wish there was, like, a really good surfing board game. That's unfortunate.
What's the name of the song?
I don't know. Any Jack Johnson song in surfing.
But what was the song you said?
Oh, I didn't say. I said any song by Jack Johnson.
Oh, you said any song.
My daughter and I have been listening to, like, the Upside Down song from the Curious George soundtrack. You know, Upside Down, something, something, something. So, is there any good
games? Wow, it sounds like your favorite song.
I am horrible with lyrics. I'm trying to think of any monkey... Ooh, no, that's a panda. Takenoko's a panda. Are there any monkey-themed games?
What's
a monkey
barrel
game?
Of monkeys?
I play Barrel of Monkeys on a regular basis, that's true.
Monkeys?
Darn it. Monkeys. What's a monkey? There's got to be monkeys in the game.
There's probably lots of kids' games.
I'm looking at my hobbit shelf and I can't see anything with monkeys right now.
I don't think I have anything with monkeys.
Okay, well,
coconuts! Coconuts!
Ooh, coconuts! Yes! Coconuts. Okay, yes. Coconuts and Upside Down from the Curious George soundtrack. Nailed it.
Perfect. Boom. Well, nailed it. I mean, it took us a while to get there.
It did, but we got there.
We did. And that's what matters.
Yes, that's all that matters.
This moment brought to you by All the Bits.
Yes. Unfortunately, yes, I am the absolute worst at remembering any lyrics from any songs or song names. I have probably heard every Jack Johnson song that he's ever produced hundreds of times each, and I could not. Yeah.
I was...
I'm so bad.
I was watching Aladdin with my daughter because I wanted to... The old Aladdin.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to introduce her to the old Aladdin. That was like my childhood movie growing up. And I was listening to the songs and I was like, oh, those are the words.
Yeah, right.
For sure, growing up, I just was like, yeah, just made up words to go with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally. I still, as an adult, I still do that, so.
I hear you.
All right. You ready for your Ask Me Anything? We haven't,
you know,
haven't done this in a while. I'm going to ask you some animograms.
Oh, for heavens.
I think these are relatively not too hard. I didn't overthink it. I just went to like the BGG hotness and like pick some games from there. And so let's start you easy here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or two.
Or two?
Yeah.
What? Wait. Or two. Like... The letter?
Yes. Well,
or the number?
Yeah. No, not the number. The word.
The word.
O-R space T-O.
Oh, rude. Why did that take me so long? I couldn't figure out if it was like two or T-O-O or...
What did you say? Right. Did you guess it?
Root.
Oh, yes. Root. Yes, that's the answer. Okay, you ready?
No.
All right, here we go. Spawning. S-P-A-W-N-I-N-G.
Spawning.
Yeah.
Wingspan.
Yes, very good, Michelle. All right. Here we go. Arena cars.
Okay, so when you split the words, it's still, like, it doesn't mean that the letters in each of the words are...
Or may not, yeah. So, like, I'm saying arena
it
cars.
May not, okay.
It may be one word, or it may also be two words.
Resarcana.
Yes. Very good. Look at that. You did awesome with those. Except that first one, which you should have gotten like that and kind of took a while. So.
Well, two, I mean, there's so many ways you can spell
there
are, it.
That is true. Yeah. So, I just got you three because I was expecting this to take a long time. So, congrats. Next time, I'll have more ready to go.
No, it's good. It's okay.
Are you sure? Okay. Because, no. We can do more. I enjoy animograms.
Okay.
Hey. I have something to say to you.
Okay.
Do 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 do
do do
do
do
do
do do.
I think my inability. Oh, this is our guess the game bit, by the way, in which we provide each other with clues from BGG to try and get the other person to guess a game, and you guys get to play along at home. I think my
and do better.
My inability to remember lyrics has something to do with my inability to maintain a tune of any sort.
That's very possible.
Yeah, as a musician, related. You should probably know the answer to this, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Because as a musician, I know everything there is to do with music. So
that's pretty sweet. All right,
yeah,
shall I?
That's how that works.
Shall I give you clues first?
Sure.
I think this is going to be a hard one for you, but let's see.
Uh-oh.
Also?
Okay.
That's what he said. Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. I'm going to have to edit that out on the Dice Tower Network.
Oh.
Maybe not. All right, here we go. This game came out in 2017.
Okay.
It is an overall rank of 125. So it's the 125th best ranked board game ever of all time right now.
Whoa.
It has an 8.5 rating on BGG.
Whoa.
And 2.6 thousand ratings. So a lot of ratings, but not a ton, but a fair bit.
Not crazy.
It plays in It plays 1 to 4 people. It plays in 60 to 120 minutes. and has a weight of 3.80. Really? 3.80, hey?
2017. Oh, man. These years, I'm so bad with these.
Yeah.
2 years ago, what was I doing 2 years ago? I was had a newborn. So, okay. That didn't help me at all.
I'm not sure if you've ever played this game either.
Just FYI. Can you, is it, okay.
All right.
2017.
I can give you designer and artist, but I don't know if that will help you.
Yeah, sure. Designer, probably not artist.
Designers are Josh J. Carlson and Adam Carlson.
Oh, yeah, the Carlson brothers.
Yeah, the Carlson boys.
For sure. Yeah, okay.
All right, I'll come back to the publisher, because that may do it. All right, so this, the mechanisms?
Yeah.
Actually, I'll give you the category. Category are adventure, dice, and fantasy.
Adventure, dice, and fantasy.
Yes.
Okay. It's not like Shadows of Brimstone, is it? No, that was out already.
I think that was, yeah.
It's not Gloomhaven? No, that's what's-his-face, Isaac some Childress. Just, yeah.
And it is a fairly big, well-known Kickstarter game.
Uh-huh, I'm sure it is.
All right.
It's not like Kingdom Death Monster? Does that have dice?
Okay. It must have dice, but I don't know. But it's not that. Would you like some mechanisms?
You know I would.
All right. Cooperative play. Deck/pool building.
Is this Spirit Island?
No.
No.
Good guess, though. Deck/pool building. Dice rolling.
Yeah, thanks.
Hand management. And variable player powers.
Oh, like Blood Rage?
No.
What's the other one? Oh, no, it's not Eric Lang.
I'm going to give you a big hint here. Think poker chips.
Well, think poker chips?
Yeah.
I mean, I just immediately think of brass.
Yeah, but it's not brass.
Well, I know. Brass doesn't have dice. Poker chips. What are you trying to tell me about poker chips? I'm guessing I don't know this game.
Yeah.
Do I know this game?
Its publisher is Chip Theory Games. Does that ring a bell at all?
I mean, the name's familiar, but I got nothing, man.
All right. Should I just give you the name? Because I don't know if there's...
Yeah, I think so.
Too Many Bones.
Oh, yeah, I would never have guessed that.
I felt kind of bad choosing it. And I was like, I really want to back this game on Kickstarter right now, but it's so expensive. So I just,
oh, it's on again? Yeah. Is it the expansion?
There's an expansion, but the only way you can usually get, like, you can't... I don't think they go to retail with their games, so you usually have to get them either at Kickstarter or their website. But it's like, if you want the whole spiel, you're looking at like $400 or $500.
Oof,
I could buy like every Feld for that. Yeah. The reason I said poker chips is they use like chips for the, all the bad guys and the action things.
Is that why they're called Chip Theory Games?
It might be. I don't know. I've wondered that, but I apologize for such a hard one, Michelle. I feel bad.
That's okay. It's okay. I'm glad I don't feel so bad, because there's no way I would have gotten it.
I know, but
it's not like I was like, oh, that's so obvious.
I usually pick ones that I know you've played or that you know of and that I think you can get. But this one, like, as soon as I chose this one, I was like, I don't know if you can actually get this.
Nope. All right, well, this one you should be able to get.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Bring it on.
Year. It's the year 2007.
2010.
41,000 people have rated this game, and it has a current rating of 7.8.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. It plays 2 to 4 players, but the community thinks it's best at 2.
Mm-hmm.
It plays in 30 to 60 minutes and has a weight of 2.97.
You said 2 to 4 players, but best at 2?
Best at 2.
Okay.
Let's see. The type is strategy.
Shocking. Yeah.
The mechanisms are hand management, simultaneous action selection, variable phase order, and variable player powers. Economic, science fiction...
Is it Race for the Galaxy?
And if this doesn't give it away, Yeah.
Oh, okay. Really, it's that old.
Yeah, it is that old.
Wow.
2007. Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow, wow.
Mm-hmm. I would not. Have you played? Are you a race fan?
Yeah, I mean, I've played it a few times. I prefer roll.
Yeah, me too.
It's just easier. It's easier to, I find, get people to play. And I've had some not great experiences with Race to the Galaxy, i.e. playing it with people, or EG, playing with people who have lots of experience at it and just getting absolutely slaughtered. And so that's kind of funny.
I've had experience where people won't play with me because I'm not experienced.
I'm sure that, yeah.
But I get why.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
Have you played the new one, the New Frontiers?
I have not, no.
That's what it's called.
Have you?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I mean, I think if I didn't have roll, I would probably like it more. Mm. I mean, I think it's a good implementation of the system.
Okay.
But I still like dice better, so...
Dice, baby.
With roll. You know it.
All righty.
All right, what's going on next?
Are we...
Pow, pow, pew, pew, pow. Whoa. Continue. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know either. Pew, pew, pew.
I like it.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
All right. This is our pew pews, Michelle. This is where we talk about some of the games we've been playing or enjoying. And this is an interesting one because we've both played a number of these games and played a number of them together. So...
Yes.
I'm kind of excited for this. We'll actually know what each other's talking about.
Crazy.
Who's going first?
I can go first.
Okay.
I'm just going to cough. Hang on.
I'm not deleting that.
Okay, great. I'm sure everybody wants to hear me cough. That's like on their bucket list.
You're coughing.
All right, my first pick is Res Arcana, which... was designed or is designed by Thomas Lehman.
He actually likes to go by T-Dog.
Oh, sorry. The T-Dog.
Yeah, because that's not the Board T-Dog. Game Digest, the weekly, T-Dog. Monthly.
Yes, right. Sure. You know all these things. No, that's okay. I don't know what the main publisher is, but it's published by Rebel and Sandcastle Games and some other long name I'm not going to try to say.
Okay.
I don't know if I already said this, but 2019... current rating of 7.9 on BGG with 1,400 ratings, plays 2 to 4 in 20 to 60 minutes with a weight of 2.7. And the artist is Julian Delville.
Mm-hmm.
Delville. So this is it says card drafting and hand management game. I felt like it was a little bit of an engine builder myself, but maybe I'm incorrect, but this is a game where you have a very small deck of cards, 8 to be precise, and you're using those cards in various ways to get resources and turn those resources in for points.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't, you know, when you break every game down, they really are just all the same.
They really are. This is true.
Yeah. This game is, yeah, about managing your hand, trying to find really great synergies, timing things out, and kind of, yeah, to me, it's all about the synergies, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then there's some end game large scoring cards that you're trying to go for, and they cost a bunch of resources, so you're trying to get those. It's a pretty quick game. Mm-hmm. And I think the theme is an alchemist. And you're doing the art of magic.
The art of magic.
Yeah, this game actually, for me, it reminds me a ton of Seasons, and I am a huge fan of Seasons. Yeah. I absolutely love that game, and I would rather just play Seasons after playing this, to be honest with you. I thought it was a fun little game. I would be happy to play it again. I played with a random deal.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a draft, there is a drafting variant. I actually checked the rules after I played because I was like, if this doesn't have a drafting variant, yeah, I will never play this again. It does have a drafting variant where you can actually build out your eight cards, which I think is incredibly important.
Considerably better with the drafting variant.
Yeah. Like, hands down, I don't think you should play any other way. I mean, not that I'm an expert. I've only had two plays, but that of all the things that I, you know, how I felt about the game, I just felt very strongly that I disliked the fact that it was totally random. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, that's about it. I don't know. I would rather play Seasons. I think I like the little puzzle of trying to do the best and you know, the drafting, I think, is probably the most interesting part of the game. And I haven't played it with a draft, but, you know, trying to find the synergies and then play it out. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. And it plays really quickly. But for me, Seasons just has more. So I'd just play Seasons over this. But I liked it. It was okay.
Making me really want to play Seasons again. It's on the for sale pile once more. But
oh, really?
I actually need to play it. I love this game.
Yeah, hey?
Especially having played, I know we played it, kind of my first time I played it with you, and then I had played it three times the other night. You're 100% right, though, with it's an engine builder through and through. And what I like about this game is, A, because it is so fast, it's one of those games where it feels like just when you're about to get your engine going, the game is over.
Yeah.
But it's also possible to get your engine going. Like, there's certain games you play, and I'm blanking. There's one in particular I can think of, and I'm just blanking on it right now. But there's certain games you play, you know, and you, like, try and build your engine, and no matter what you do, you feel like you're right there, and then the game is over. This one, I feel like you can get your... It is totally possible that you can get some sort of engine going, which I like about that. And the nice thing about the draft is you can kind of tailor a strategy a little bit more, whereas if you're just doing the random deal... then you can't really do that.
No.
So I definitely see that. I think you really need to draft this game, having now played it with the draft.
Well, when people talk about Seasons, it's interesting because, when people talk about Seasons, they're like, you know, the game is in the draft. Like, if you do poorly in the draft or you're not focused or whatever, you know, it's pointless. Mm-hmm. Like, everything you do, you know, the cards you draft, then you're just playing them out in the best way possible. And there's certainly still some interest there and decisions to be made. But yeah, I mean, you're building out your whole game in that draft. Yeah. And I feel like this would be the same, exact same concept. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And there's Take That too, which Seasons has as well. And I mean, you know, I'd always prefer to take it out, but if I like the game enough, I'll play it, you know, sort of thing. And
see, I think there needs to be more Take That in this.
Oh, no,
I think the Take That is it's pretty easy to get around it. Oh, I would love a Take That where you can, like, get rid of someone's artifact or something like that. And you can, like, really screw them over. Because you have no way of... It's really hard when someone has an engine going to stop it.
Yeah, I guess so. And it is pretty easy, I think, if you see somebody has, like, a lot of Take That or even just builds one Take That card, it's pretty easy to defend. Stop. Like, you just need a defend card.
Yeah.
Now, if you haven't drafted one, I guess you're out of luck. But hopefully... You've seen that there's Take That cards in the deck, and hopefully there's defense cards to draft with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people like it, and I'm sure, I think if I played it more, I'd like it. Like, I think it's a sweet little game, but yeah, I don't know. I walked away from it and I was like, well, I'd rather just play Seasons.
And that's okay. Like, if you have a game like that, totally do with that. Yeah. It's reminded me of Splendor.
No.
She doesn't like Splendor. You know, you just build your engine and you go.
Splendor. There you go. I like it's got good bits.
Oh, too. The bits are awesome. And the insert thingy that you keep the bits in are really good.
And the art's fantastic.
The art's really nice. Yeah, it's like takes that generic fantasy theme but makes it presentable.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's Res Arcana.
All right. My first pew 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 here is Obsession by Kayenta Games, designed and art by Dan Halligan. And this came out in 2018, plays 1-4. The internet says the best is none, so take that for what it's worth. It's got a weight of 3.17. It just means it's awesome at every player count, which it is. I've played it, spoiler alert, at every player count. That's good. So this game, I feel like I've talked about this on the show, and I've definitely tweeted
about
it too, but I hadn't played it for like ever. I finally got a copy of this, and this is for all you Downton Abbey fans. I'm sure most of our listeners are huge Downton Abbey fans. This game is a gamer's game of Downton Abbey. Now, I used to have Downton Abbey, the board game, which is just a horrible roll and move game. This is like Downton Abbey, the board game. You are a... what this is it's probably like a worker placement slash tableau-ish tableau builder. You're building your estate. What you are, what you're trying to do is you're a down-on-the-luck family, and these two, the Fairchild twins or siblings, have moved into town, into Adelaide Abbey, I think it's called. They've moved into this gigantic abbey, and you are trying to build your estate to impress them and court them, Michelle. That's what you are doing in this game. By building your estate, you are basically trying to build tiles from the market. And what you are doing in order to build tiles from the market, which are things like afternoon tea and music and billiards and a cards area, things like that, grand balls. In order to do that, what you are doing is you are using one of your workers. The workers are things like butlers, footmen, there are under-butlers, there are ladies' maids, and housekeepers. And what you are doing is you need to send a worker to one of your tiles in order to activate it, and then you have to play gentry, which is your hand. And you, throughout the game, you are building your hand, which is your deck of cards. It's not a deck builder per se, it's more of a hand builder. You're building these cards that are various people, gentry, and certain things, like let's say if you go to one of the places that gives you money, you might have to use a footman to go on it and then play two gentry. And every time you do an activity from your estate, you also get rewards with it. So you get whatever's on it, plus whatever rewards are on the gentry, which can be things like money or reputation. Reputation's really important in this game. There are things like additional cards, so you can get more prestigious guests in your hands, because some of the guests are like hangers-on, and they'll do damage to your reputation and screw you over as you're trying to do. But you're basically doing this for, depending what side of the board you're doing, either 16 or 20 rounds. The rounds are super quick. They go over really, really quickly. There are a number of interesting decisions to do. It's like you also have to manage like how much how fast you're getting your reputation, because you can only do certain activities if your reputation's higher. You can only use people from your hand if your reputation's high enough as well. And what I love about this game more than anything, more than the gameplay, which I really do like the gameplay, I think there's just enough decision. It's not terribly difficult. But what I love about this game is you can tell how lovingly crafted the game is. Every gentry in the card, every card has flavor text and substantial flavor text on it, and which is often quite funny and amusing. The book has, there's tons of stuff in the book about that time period. I watched Dan, the guy, the creator, the designer, do these videos, and maybe I'll link them in there, and you can tell how lovingly this game was crafted when he made it, and how important the theme is to him, which is hilarious, because he sounds like a Western American dude, or Southern American, which is not someone you would expect to do a game like this. But yeah, that's the game. I absolutely adore this game and love it.
Yeah, I really like it too. Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, it was a spark for me. Mm-hmm. Definitely, the Kickstarter's coming. I'm definitely going to back it.
Yeah, there's.
I think I really like games where I can create my own worker placement spots. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're basically creating your own board in a sense. And
yeah, you totally are with this, and that's nice. Everyone starts with, and I kept it short, but everyone will start with kind of the same starting tiles, and then as you go to market, you can buy, depending where they are, it'll depend how much it costs. But yeah, you're creating your own things. And it's got a really interesting mechanism in that when you buy most tiles, they're often negative victory points or zero victory points at the end of the game. But then once you use them, you flip them. And sometimes they'll have less power, but then you get more victory. You'll actually get victory points and clear up those negatives. So that's an interesting thing to do. There are tons of ways to score. You're scoring 7 or 8 different ways at the end of the game as well with this, which is neat too. That appeals to your point salad type thing.
Yeah. And like the workers that you use are basically they aren't ready to use for another, I think it's like 2 turns. Yeah. And so that you have, you know, you're cycling through those guys. And yeah, there's just a lot of neat little mechanisms that come together well. The game is, I don't know, for me, I find it quite ugly. But, it's just good.
Yeah.
It's just a really solid game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely want to play that one again.
Totally agree about the graphic design. Like, that's not a strong, suit of it. It's really not. But the gameplay is really strong. And I think just the kind of theme, even though Michelle likes it, the theme of the game, as well as kind of just how, yeah, I love it. So, yeah, it is coming out. There's an expansion hitting Kickstarter, I think. So you'll be able, because it can be a little tricky to get. I know Board Game Bliss had it for a while. I don't think they have it in stock anymore. There's also an expansion, which I don't have, but I think it just adds more stuff. But I think this new expansion will be adding more mechanisms, I think. So that's Obsession from Kenyatta Games.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gooder. It's a gooder.
It's a gooder.
All right, my next pick is Tudor. This came out in 2018, late 2018, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm just slow to play games. I don't know. But this is designed by Jan Kirschner and arts by Dennis Lohausen. Academy Games is the publisher, as well as a few others. Weight is 2.93, plays in 90 to 120 minutes, which seems long. I think the box says something different. Because I convinced Rich to play it with me, and there's no way he would play a game that says 90 to 120 minutes. 2 to 4, current rating of 7.1 on BGG with 319 ratings. I do not know how to explain this game in terms of what... Okay, set collection worker placement is what the BGG says. One of the things I like about this game is that there are various scoring cards. So actually what you're doing every game and why you're doing it is going to change based on the scoring card.
Cool.
So there's quite a bit of variability, which I really like. The general gist of the game is that there's a hallway with chairs. And the chairs lead to three different rooms with a table and chairs. And then those lead into, I don't remember what they call it, the court maybe. And it's basically a grid. Ha! Yeah, it is. A bunch of columns. And you put tokens on those columns of different colors. And what happens is you put your dudes out on these chairs to say, I want to go into this room, and everybody puts their guys on the chairs. And then you move your dudes into the room, and because there's limited seating at the table, you might bump out other people. And then once you've done that, then you place your, I think they're the Lord. Sorry, I don't remember all the little details, but they're a larger pawn and they sit on the opposite end of the table. But the interesting thing is that only the rooms with those dudes are going to happen during the action phase. So you might have meeples in another room and then not be able to activate them because there's not enough lords to go around. Because there's, for example, in a two-player game, there's two lords and three rooms. So one of the rooms won't activate. And in each room is just basically a table with two different actions. So things like, move up, grab a card, that sort of thing. And generally what you're trying to do is move up these columns. And you do so by playing matching cards. So, of course, there's actions to get cards and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And then depending, like, I've played a few games, and one game was, like, you want to get your dude to the top of the column, and if he's sitting at that, then you get points when you get there. And then another one was really around set collection, so these different colored tiles, as you move over them, you collect them. So then, you know, like, purple would be worth 6 points, and green would be worth 4 points, so you're trying to, you know, get the most points possible. But I haven't even talked about the gimmick of the game. And the gimmick of the game is that there are these colored rings that match the color of the tiles. And your player screens are these gigantic, kind of creepy hands that you put these rings on.
Oh my God,
they're pretty creepy. Yeah, I know. And and then you put, as you get rings, and you can swap out rings and whatever. But where you put the rings on the fingers will modify the actions that you can take that are on the table.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have it on like the pinky and the thumb, that might mean that, you know, when you grab a card, you can grab two cards, for example. And then the colors of the rings are significant because some of the actions allow you to move forward if you have the color ring of the next tile. So you want to move on to yellow. Do you have a yellow ring? Great. Then you can use that action, that sort of thing. So kind of neat, pretty gimmicky. The game itself, I think, is fine. I like it. It's very middle of the road. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything, you know, super unique about it. I mean, aside from its gimmick of the rings and the hands. But, you know, like, it's the gameplay is feels, yeah, middle of the road. But I enjoy it enough to, like, I'm definitely going to give it a few more plays. The whole, like, sitting guys out and trying to find out, like, you know, there's, like, a little push your luck, you know? Am I going to get in? Am I going to get pushed out? That sort of thing. So there's some neat things going on. And I really like the fact that the scoring is different every game. The only other game I can think of that really does that, and I'm probably missing a bunch, but Adventureland, it kind of reminded me of Adventureland in that way, where when you sit down at the table, you don't actually necessarily know exactly what type of game you're going to play until you get those scoring cards out. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I liked that variability. So yeah, probably will be forgotten fairly soon. Still, but you know, it's not a bad game. Just another decent middle of the road Euro with a kind of a cool twist. So that's Tudor.
Cool. I can't get past that hand. I'm sorry.
It's, yeah, and a lot of people complain because it falls over. I didn't have too many problems, but it is creepy. The more I look at it, the creepier it gets. Yeah.
It looks like a pretty game, though, from all the bit, from like the bits and stuff.
It is. Yeah, it's a beautiful game. It's a beautiful game. Yeah, for sure. And the rings come in like a little tray where they slot in, you know, and that's a really nice touch. So, I mean, it's a great production, thick cardboard, great art. You know, all of that. It's just at the end of the day, it just doesn't, it's not a standout.
All right. My second pew pew here is Ice Cool. And from this game's a bit older, quote unquote, 2016, from Amigo and Brain Games, designed by Brian Gomez and art by Arenas Pedersen. And this is a flicking dexterity game. I think most people out there kind of know what Ice Cool is now. I'll just quickly kind of go over it, and I'm mainly talking about now because I've been playing it quite a bit lately, both at work and at home. It's a dexterity game where you're flicking penguins, these penguins that have like bottoms that kind of roll, so you can flick them through a school. You're at a penguin school, you're flicking them, and one person's the hall monitor, and the other people are trying to catch fish to eat them. And you're chasing them, and the hall monitor's trying to catch the other players. You kind of go around this X amount of time, depending how many people there are playing, and then you tally up points at the end. That's kind of the game. This game is so much fun. It's like, even if it's one of those games, even if you struggle with dexterity games or flicking games, and I'm horrible with flicking games, you can kind of just bat them because they roll so easily. You can kind of get by that, but I've seen people, I've played this with people who can do like trick shots and can like curve it. They can bend it like Beckham. There's another sport thing. They can bend the thing. They can hop over walls. There's all sorts of things people who are good at these sort of thing can do. But yeah. Aside from that, this game has constantly been a huge hit at Board Game Club. When we were doing it during the school year, the kids always flock to it. They love doing it. When I need something light to play for game night, it's been coming out quite a bit lately. It's just a fun game where people can kind of, it's a good body break game, especially if you've been like sitting down for a while. Michelle, if you've been sitting down for a while and your body is sore, you need to get up and move around.
What? That never happens.
Yeah, it's a good game that you can kind of get up because you kind of have to move around to flick it and stuff. Also, my toddler likes it too. She tries to like bat the things through the tails all the time through the doors of the school. And it's that box in box thing for those of you who aren't familiar with Ice School. And that's like you have the board game, but then when you open it up, there's like four or five. All the rooms of the school are kind of a box in the box. So that's how they go about packaging it, which I absolutely love. And you can get Ice Cool too and put them together and have like an 8-player giant school as well.
Whoa.
So, which I've not done.
And just so you know, Sean, yes. I get up during gameplay because felled between rounds, there's a ton of work to be done in all his games. Yeah, take tiles off.
You gotta do all that. That's true. That's fine. Okay. I was just looking out for your well-being, Michelle. All right.
Feld's got my back.
Anyway, that's Ice Cool. If you're not familiar with Ice Cool or haven't seen it yet somehow, go check it out. Watch some videos online. Play it with me because I like it so much. Whatever.
I've always wanted to try that one. It looks cute.
It's fun. It's not. I mean, its weight is 1.02. There are no decisions in it. I guess it's which room do you want to go into? Which fish are you going for first?
Plus, the penguins are cute because they're wobbly.
Penguins are super cute.
All right, my next pew is Nagaraja by Bruno Catala and Theo Riviere. Oh, I didn't know Vincent Dutray did this art.
This art is Vincent Dutray at his best.
It's beautiful.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah,
man.
It's beautiful. Mm. The publisher of this is Hurricane. It was published in 2019, has a current rating of 7.3 on the BGG with 237 ratings. It plays 2 and only 2. It plays in 30 minutes and has a weight of
2.00.
Yeah. So this game, the mechanisms it says are dice rolling, grid movement, hand management, modular board, root building, tile placement, category, adventure, bluffing, exploration, maze.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, but it's not a complicated game. So each player has a board, and what you're trying to do is a race to 25 points. You have these point chips that are face down around your board. You don't know what the face value is of them. And you're bidding on tiles. I'll explain the bidding in a second. You're bidding on tiles. You know, every round you just basically flip over a tile, and it's like a Sorrow kind of tile, you know, with some paths. And you have three entrances at the very front of your board, and you're trying to connect your entrance to these tiles, to the scoring tiles. There are also three of your scoring tiles are red. And if you reveal all three, you lose. But if you reveal, say, two of them, you still get the points. And again, you're racing to 25 points. And then there are a few tiles that will have these like blue tokens that you put on them. And once you connect that blue token to one of your doors, then you flip it over and it also has additional points. So that's the kind of the aim of the game. And then the way it plays out is you have a hand of cards, and each of these cards has a few things going on. One is an icon, which matters because in a round you're going to play as many cards as you want or as little as you want, as long as they have the same icon. So that's where the icon matters. And then each card tells you are allowed to roll these pieces. So there's three types of pieces in the game: brown, white, and green. And each of them are these long sticks, basically. And the brown ones are all pips.
Mm-hmm.
The white ones are mostly pips, and they're a little shorter. But they also have this, I think it's called the Naga in the game. It's like a wave line.
Yeah,
wavy line
thing.
Yeah, and then the green ones have way less pips, but lots more wavy lines. Yeah. And so you play cards, and it'll say, okay, hey, this turn you can roll, you know, 2 brown. So you roll 2 brown, and then whoever has the most pips is going to get that tile. The wavy lines, the Nagas, allow you to play cards. So what else is on these cards is special powers. So things like flip tiles, move tiles, swap tiles, all of these like kind of nifty little ways for you to game the game, and, you know, test your fate, I guess. And then, like I said, it's a race to 25 points. It's got really great art. It's got really cool bits. And I quite like the game. It's just a nice, like, you know, it's exactly what a two-player game should be, in the sense of, you know, let's sit down, let's have some fun for 20 or 30 minutes. We won't take ourselves too seriously. And you just, you know, you get to throw some things. I don't know, sticks. Again, not like in terms of gameplay, it's like, it's not like you say, oh wow, this is so amazing or innovative or anything. It's just, it's a really nice solid game. Mm-hmm. I've been enjoying it.
Nice. Yeah, I really like this. I've played it a couple times now. If I had any chance of playing two-player games somewhat regularly, I would own it. It's a lot of fun. It's so gorgeous. I love, just the dice are so cool.
Yeah, the bits definitely help in the game. But yeah, there's just a lot. I think it's just, there's a lot of really cool things going on. Like, there's the presser luck, there's bluffing, there's a little bit of deduction, there's, you know, trying to combo things and be smart about your tiles. So it's just, you know, there's a lot of little things going on in a really tight, nice, sweet package. So
I always like games that have that, like, where you really do sometimes, like you said, there's all those things going on. And some rounds you just kind of have to decide, hey, am I, like, because your initial reaction is, oh, I want to go for the tiles all the time. But, like, when you're doing your cards and choosing what you're going to play, you kind of sometimes have to decide, okay, am I going to hold back and power up and, you know, go for card play versus trying to get the dice this particular round.
Right.
So I always like games where you kind of have to make decisions. Hey, I'm going to throw this tile. I'm going to let you get it because I'm focusing on two turns down the line from now or the next turn or something. I always love when games offer that.
I could see this game. I agree. And I could see this game being like, if you play somebody who's played it a lot, I think you would probably lose. Like, even though there's a fair bit of luck, I think just kind of understanding exactly what you're talking about, like when to play what and when to go for a tile or how to play the cards, you know, in a smart way.
Yeah, I could see that. Hey, but you know what?
Yeah.
That would never happen to either you or I, because we never play these games enough.
Exactly. Yay!
So anyone who's playing this game with Michelle, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, really cool. Really cool game. I'm happy I got to play it. Thanks, Darren. And that's Nagaraja.
Cool. All right, my last pew-pew-pew here is Hyantis. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I feel like it's been a while since I've played it, but I did play it like three times in three nights when I initially played it. So I really wanted to talk about this when before our last episode got postponed. But I'll try and talk a little bit about it. And you've played this too, Michelle, right? You can maybe fill in some blanks for me. But
it's been a little bit for me,
all right,
too.
So here, Hyantis is, this is a reprint, I guess not re-implementation, of a game that just came out from TMG, the Deluxified. This is the Deluxified edition, the one that I have, designed by Stefan Risthaus, and art by Harold Leskey and Adam P. McIver. And I'm going to guess Adam P. McIver did some new art with it. And published by Game Brewer and Spielworks, and now Tasty Minstrel is, I guess, publishing in the U.S. and Canada through, I kickstarted this as well. I have a story that goes with that, but we'll save that for another time. But they call it a Civ building game, but honestly, it doesn't really feel like any Civ building game I've ever played. This feels like a worker placement action point game. That's what it really feels like to me, as opposed to your typical Civ building game, right? I wasn't going to war with anyone. I wasn't attacking anyone. It wasn't taking me 10 million years to get a tech tree going. it really feels like more like a Euro to me than that type of game. And what is cool about this game, what I love, my favorite part about this, is how they use the timing mechanism for this game. And the way that works is, what you're going to do is, you get to take actions on your turn. And these actions are things like drawing cards, hiring workers or dudes. There are six different dudes. They're building buildings, taking first player marker, playing cards. You have to play cards as well. I think I kind of hit most of them. And what you're doing is, there are a bunch of tiles on the board. And when you're taking one of these actions, you are picking up one of the tiles and you're putting it on your time track. And then you are taking time. It's going to cost you a certain amount of time. So you put it on your time track, and then there are hourglasses. And some things will be 1 hourglass, and other things will be 2 hourglasses. And you fill this up, and when you're filled up, your turn is done, you pass, your round is over. Before the next round, they're all going to come off. However, on your time track, only one time will come off per square. So if you've doubled up on your time in places, you will lose that square for your next round. And there are opportunities to earn more time through building buildings and building cards and playing cards will allow you to get open up more on your time track. That's a really neat mechanism that I like. I think I explained it right, Michelle? It's kind of how it works. But basically what you're...
The time one, yeah.
That's kind of like the main...
The time's
right. The thing that really gets me about this game is the time thing. And it's a really quick game. It's only six rounds. It's one of those games when you read the rule book, and I kind of feel like I compare it to Orleans again. Feels like there's tons of things that are happening that you're doing, but they all go really quickly and they go together really nicely. So it doesn't feel like anything crazy. Another cool thing that I like is when you're building, that the game does, is with the card play, is you're building these cards. And these cards are worth victory points, but they also give you things like, they might give you money, they might give you the ability to trade one thing for another, they might give you virtual dudes. So most of these cards, in order to play them, you need to have enough of one, two, or three, or four of the different worker guys on your board. And when you're playing these, they all have symbols on them. And you can kind of combo the symbols in that you get victory points for the same symbols. So there's synergy in it too. So if you have five squiggly lines, you're going to get five bonus points because you choose the squiggly lines and you have five squiggly lines. So you get like 1 point per each one. So that's a really nice way to ramp up your points too. It's nice that the points ramp up really fast with this. Every game I've played of this, the three games I played, they've all been relatively close with all the people playing, which I always really like in a game. That's kind of it. You're playing six rounds. Whoever has the most victory points wins. You're managing playing cards, building buildings, managing your dudes. And there are bonus tiles for if you win, if you reach certain thresholds. The deluxified edition, I think we've talked about it a little bit, but it comes with the awesome folding space insert, which I love. It comes with metal coins. It comes with indented recessed player boards. It comes with, they're completely not necessary, but huge for your market, for like when you're going to hire new dudes. They're giant wooden meeples, which are really cool too. So the bits and the components are really awesome for this game as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I hit most of the points I wanted to hit on.
Yeah, the only thing and you might have mentioned, I apologize if you did, the requirements for getting cards, you have like these different, I don't know what they're supposed to represent, civilizations or societies or what, but there's these different symbols and you have these tracks, but each, like there's six different symbols and each row has two on either end. So you can't just max out on everything. Cause if you, like, let's say you're at like four on the symbol that's on the left and you want to move up to three or something with the symbol on the right, then you're going to have to give up a symbol on the left. So it's like there's this really interesting tug of war and give and take as well with that. I liked that as well.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. But I really like that. It's really cool. I don't really like the player board for that, like the thing that you do that on. I find it confusing. I wish there was a better way to keep track of it. I just find it with the numbers and the way it's laid out, and that like the first one isn't your first one. It's just I find that confusing, and I don't. That's like my one problem with the graphic design and the layout of everything. I wish they had a different way to do that, but that's a minor.
This is one of those games that after I play, it's like it feels like you do so little. Mm-hmm. But you can do so much. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's the way Grand Austria Hotel is too, or Pulsar 2049. You know, it's like if you just do the very basic, there's so little you can do. But if you play smart and you play well, you can really do quite a bit. Uh-huh. And I don't know. That's what this game felt like. So that usually hooks me.
Yeah, I'm looking. And I haven't played. Have you played with the expansion that came with it? I haven't played with that yet.
No, I haven't yet. No.
Looking forward to trying that. Cool. That's Hientes from Tasty Mintro Games.
Nice.
Doop.
Hot
topic.
Topic.
My voice cracked like a prepubescent boy there. What?
That's my favorite when that happens.
What? No, what is wrong with you? We can't talk like that. This is a Dice Tower Network podcast. Speaking of the Dice Tower, Michelle, what's our hot topic?
We have our haphazard predictions for the 2019 SCJ and Dice Tower Awards.
Woo!
And they're haphazard because really, what do we know?
We don't know anything.
No.
All right.
No.
Let's I got to open this site there that's in the German.
All right. So there's actually some funny translation on this. So we're looking at the nominees for the 2019 Spiel des Jahres award, which is a very prominent award in Germany, given to one game a year. It's a family game, and now they've expanded to children's games and one kind of like strategy game. The game does have to be published in German, but it's a pretty big deal. Like they always say, if you win this Spiel, you know, your game's going to do exceptionally well. Mm. So, yeah. So they release, well, this episode's a little late, but it's still somewhat relevant. So the nominees for 2019, so we'll start with the Spiel, is Just One, which is a party game by Ludovic Rowdy and Bruno Sauter. Llama by Rainer Knizia. And Words of Words, which I think is incorrect. I think in the translation is supposed to be Werewords.
It's Werewords, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, by Ted Alspach.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, those are the three nominees for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So, what do you think, Sean?
Well, I haven't played Llama. I didn't know it existed until this. I have played Just One. I have played Werewords. I enjoy Werewords. I'm not a huge fan of Werewords. I would prefer The Insider to playing Werewords. Werewords is basically just 20 questions, but with werewolf characters, for those of you who don't know. Okay. And Just One is an awesome game. Definitely of these three, Just One is my pick. I love. It's such an easy... Such a fun, I just played it the other night. It's such a fun and easy game that always produces a lot of laughs that anyone can enjoy, which I think is the top criteria for the Spiel, des Jahres Awards. Huge fan of Just One, and I think I would think that would be the game that wins here. I can't imagine Werewords winning. Again, I don't know Llama, so I apologize. I can't imagine Werewords winning, though. It feels like it's a little too complicated for this award.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like, because you're dealing with werewolf characters, and then the more characters you throw in there, the more complicated it gets. Like, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, my prediction is Just One. I have only played Just One. I haven't played Werewords, and I haven't played Llama. I'm sure I'll like Llama. I'm looking forward to picking up a copy. I usually like Rainer Knizia, and I like card games, but. Yeah, I think Just One is just one of those.
Hilarious. You're so funny.
Just one of those games that everybody seems to enjoy, even if people aren't into party games and whatnot. Yeah. So, I'm looking at the recommendation, and I was actually. So, some of the recommendations are Belrotti, Dizzle, Imhotep the Duel, Crass. Oh, no, I'm not going to say that. Don't know the.
Are we both looking at the German site here, which is hilarious?
I'm looking at the translated site, and so there are some things that are incorrect. And then Reef and Sherlock. So a lot of these I haven't played or are not out in North America yet. But when I saw Reef, I was like, oh, I'm surprised that actually didn't make it as a nominee.
Yeah, me too.
I
am really actually super surprised that Werewords made it as a nominee for this. I'm super duper surprised. But All right.
Well, let's move on to the Kenner Spiel. So this is supposed to be, you know, more of the strategy.
The Michelle Awards, if you will.
Category. This is usually the category I like to pay attention to. So we've got Carpe Diem by Stefan Feld, Detective by Ignacy Trevicek, and
I'll give you 5 cents if you could say this.
Wingbeat. is my translation. Wingspan, by Elizabeth Hargrave. I'm actually surprised Carpe Diem made it, simply because I do know that they look at like overall production and presentation, and this game, like, they had to complete, they're redoing it, like they're redoing the art, you know, because of complaints. And so I'm just surprised that it made it, though. I think it's a fabulous game. I obviously think Wingspan's gonna win, but
I think it's a four. I would love to see Detective win, because I think, you know, anytime these awards, when there's like a game that does something different, I'm always like, go. So, but I think, I'm assuming, Wingspan will win, probably in a landslide.
I think it deserves it.
Yeah.
All right. Some of the recommendations are Architects of the West Kingdom. Lowlands. Surprised to see that one there. Newton. I love that game. The more I play that game, the more I like it. And Paper Tales, which kind of surprises me. It's a card drafting game, and your tableau is like a battleground sort of thing.
Yeah, I've heard some not great things about that.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know. I'm surprised it's here. But yeah, so those are the recommendations.
Cool.
I was trying to think of what came out this year and what I would think would go there, but now I was drawing a blank. Yeah.
I'm always horrible at picking, especially the Spiel ones, because you just never know, like, who knows what the actual criteria is and what people are looking for. So I'm just like, just wait till they come out, and then we'll make our horrible predictions. Although I almost feel like this year, more than any year I can remember, it just feels like really cut and dry, and maybe I'll be completely wrong. But between just one and Wingspan, like, I feel like it's definitely those
totally.
Two. But maybe we'll be wrong. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? We don't live in Germany, so I don't know. The vibe there might be different for those games.
And what?
All right.
What? I forgot I was going to say something, but I changed my mind.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right, so we're going to move on. These are probably going to be a bit more relevant, I would think. But so these are the Dice Tower Awards. Again, these are just the nominees. Mm-hmm. So I thought we'd just kind of go over some categories, talk about our predictions, and then I linked to a BGG poll,
yes,
where people voted who they thought should win, and so we'll talk about those. So do you want to start with best family game of the year?
Sure. So then,
all right,
the nominees. Now, have you voted on these, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay, so the nominees here are for best family game are Fireball Island, Gizmos, Reef, Space Base, and My Little Scythe.
And your vote goes to?
My vote goes to, I have not played two of these five games, my vote goes to Space Base. I enjoy the heck of Space Base. It really just makes me feel, it kind of like, again, it kind of makes me feel like it takes like what Splendor does and bumps it up like one level. And I really like that you're involved in all the turns. It kind of like gets rid of that annoying downtime. And it has a little bit more in it than something like Machikoro. That's where the kind of comparison always is. But I love Space Base. I played it like close to like a dozen times now.
Yeah, I love that game for the first, like, 20 minutes, and then it just drags for me. Mm. But it makes me sad, because I think there is a good game there. My vote goes to Reef. Mm-hmm. Out of those, I've played Gizmos, Reef, and Space Base. I'd probably rather play Gizmos, but I just think in terms of, like, a really accessible family game that has a really good presence, I think Reef hits on all those.
So. I could see that.
Yeah, and surprisingly, actually, the current, I guess, winner as of right now, in the sense that it has the most votes, is My Little Scythe.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be super surprised, because Scythe has so many followers, but...
terrible.
Or fans,
that's
I should say.
Not
but
terribly surprising. Sorry, I'm just moving around here as I try and charge my computer.
Ah! All right. Do you want to talk about the next category?
Let's go on to the next one.
All right.
The next one is
Best artwork. So we've got Everdell, Root, Grim Forest, Cerebria, and Rising Sun, which are all gorgeous games.
This is a hard one.
I know. It took me a while. I picked Root. Just there. I don't know. I just love that art, I guess. Yeah. But it was. Yeah. I don't know. They're all really great.
I love the art in Grim Forest a lot. I think my problem with the art in Grim Forest, and I don't know if this should necessarily be a negative towards like some sort of award, is that it's not original. You know what I mean? And I mean, I don't know if that should matter or not. I would probably go with Cerebria of these.
Yeah.
I just love the way it just pops and just smashes you in the face. Like,
yeah,
all
it is a beautiful game. I think if I played
stuff.
That game, I might have picked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the voters are saying Root, and then Everdell, but they're like very, 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 very close.
Yeah, not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the least is Grim Forest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Which one do you want to do next? You want to do innovative?
Yeah, let's do it here. I'll do innovative here now that I can actually read my computer and. Talking to the microphone.
fancy.
Know, right? Most innovative. Chronicles of Crime, Nectophobia, Detective, a Modern Crime Board Game, Keyforge, and The Mind. I'm going to go with Chronicles of Crime here. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my pick, too. Yeah. Not that QR codes are really that new, but...
Yeah,
I thought it was just the way you had to connect the dots. I thought it was just really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Keyforge is. Oh, because it was the unique Dex. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is
well, the votes say Keyforge, mm-hmm. and then Chronicles of Crime just right behind there.
Mm-hmm. Are we doing all of these?
No. Okay.
Let's do strategy next. Exactly.
All right, so we've got Root, Teotihuacan, Brass Birmingham, Queenbra, and Underwater Cities.
I'm going to go with Brass Birmingham, like all the cool kids.
And my, my pick was Underwater Cities. Mm. Yeah. I'm actually surprised by this one.
The Underwater Cities is on there?
No, that Brass Birmingham is by far the favorite.
But it's won all the awards already for like best strategy from like last year.
Yeah, I guess
year.
So, yeah. Hey.
I think.
I thought the other ones were heavier hitters, I guess, like Teotihuacan and Underwater Cities is actually the lowest. And that surprises me as well. I thought Coimbra would be the lowest.
I think the problem with Underwater Cities is it had all that buzz and then it took forever to come out, so it's not in a ton of people's hands, and then it lost out on all the buzz, because Rio Grande took their sweet time with it. All right.
Yeah, that's like the Pfister Blackout Hong Kong. Still not in Canada.
Exactly.
Still not in Canada, and it's just, it's fizzled.
Yep.
All right, do you want to do best production?
Sure.
That's kind of fits our, vibe.
All right, let's do this. So best production, we got Rising Sun, Fireball Island, Everdell, Brass Birmingham, and Grim Forest. I want to say Rising Sun, but the fact that there was a Kickstarter one that had different, that was different than the retail one.
Yeah.
Because production, we're talking about like the whole everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I almost want to go with Everdell had the Kickstarter copy too, though, didn't it?
It did. But the retail was pretty,
good too.
Pretty exceptional.
I kind of want to go with Everdell here. If not for the box in Fireball Island, even though I haven't played it, I've seen it, but I know there's a lot of people had a lot of issues with the box.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I'm going to go with Everdell.
All right. My pick was Brass Birmingham. Yeah, it's just stunning. Every Roxley, their attention to detail and their ability to just take things to the next level.
Next level!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next level!
Yeah, like just such beautiful work.
Yeah.
You know, from the insert to the finish on cards to the art to the iron clays. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Brass Birmingham is has the most votes, mm-hmm. followed by Rising Sun.
Cool beans.
All right, let's scroll down here. We could do co-op. I don't really care for co-op.
Best theming. You really want to do best theming.
Oh my god.
Let's do game of the year. Let's go to game of the year here.
Okay.
Do the big
game
one.
Of the year.
All right. So the game of the year, the big one. The nominees are Root, Teotihuacan, Chronicles of Crime, Underwater City, Brass Birmingham, Western Legends, Rising Sun, Architects of the West Kingdom, Everdale, and The Mind.
What was your pick, Sean? Wait, let me guess. The Mind.
Yes, obviously. My pick is The Mind. I know The Mind wouldn't stand a chance of winning. That is my pick, though, yes.
No.
Obviously. Best game ever.
No way.
Yeah. But
all right, well, my pick. This one was a hard one for me because I really enjoy Teotihuacan. I really do. Underwater Cities and Brass, but my pick was Underwater Cities. Mm-hmm. Out of all of those. And it looks like Brass, Birmingham, and... Or, sorry, Birmingham. This is Roxley put out a tweet and said that in the States there's like a Birmingham in the States and they say Birmingham,
New York.
And in the UK it's it's Birmingham. So Birmingham.
So that's number one right now.
That no, it's tied with Root.
Root. Okay.
And then everything else is like a few percentiles. Rising Sun, Architects are next, but like way behind. And the lowest is Western Legends.
I'm surprised to see Western Legends on this list, actually.
I don't know much about it. I know there was... I remember hearing a lot of hype around it when the Kickstarter... Was it a Kickstarter?
It was delivering? A Kickstarter.
It seemed like... But I haven't seen much about
it. I have played it. It's a good... I think this is like the first time ever like on any of these lists that I've played every single one of the games, which is shocking. No, I lied. I haven't played Everdale. But it's a good open set. Like, it's like a sandboxy game. You have a whole bunch of stuff you can do with it. I don't know about the staying power of it, to be honest, but it's a good...
I'm surprised Everdale's, like, third lowest. That surprises me. I thought that would be higher up.
I want to play Everdale.
I like that game, actually. I think I gave it a mediocre review. Ish, but it's definitely grown on me, and it's, I think, just because it's just so like simple and quick. It's one of those ones that comes off my shelf quite a bit. I really do like the game.
I mean, you know, if you're using those criteria, Michelle, you really should play The Mind more.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh dear. Okay. Well.
All right. Well, those were our haphazard predictions based on absolutely nothing. Oh. You're welcome, all you bitsers.
Yep.
So our next and last segment...
I always want to do this like a sheep.
I'm sick, so I kind of have a good like hoarseness to it today.
Your sounds better. I cannot not do this and it not sound like a sheep. Or goat.
That was our ship sound, believe it or not, folks.
Our what sound? Sorry, can you say that again?
Our ship.
Our ship. Okay.
Sound. Because this is our shipping out segment. Nope. Our shipping out bit. Where we talk about games we are selling.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sean, what game are you selling?
Well, sold. I recently sold Tales of the Arabian Nights. Arabian Nights? So this was a game that I had the opportunity, I think I mentioned in the show, I had the opportunity to play at a friend's house, gosh, I don't know how long ago, a year and a half ago, and we like put on the Aladdin soundtrack in the background, from the movie while we played it. And I was enamored with it. It's like, it's, you know, it's like a one of those like role playing in the box type games. You know, it's weird things happen and you go through an adventure until you meet your objectives or whatever. And I was really enamored with it. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I eventually, a few months later, landed up finding it at Falcon last year, the flea market, I think. Mm. And I had it sitting on my shelf. And I always, like, anytime there was a game night, I was like, should we play this? And there was just always something else I'd rather play, or multiple things I'd rather play, because playing this game is like a 3-4 hour experience, I think, usually, unless things go awry. And I just got to the realization that I'm probably never going to actually get this to the table. If I do ever have the urge to play it, I'm hoping I will be able to find someone to play it with. So that's
I loved this game when I first got into the hobby.
Yeah, you mentioned this before.
Like, oh man, I loved it. But yeah, once I started playing more games, and I realized, you know, I didn't like just how random it was. Like, even the whole choose your points goal. Like, do you want? I can't remember what the score is. Just like, it's totally random. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I would probably still play it for nostalgia's sake, but. Yeah, man. I had some good times with it, though.
Yeah. Did you go to the sex change waterfall? Or whatever it is?
I did. Yeah.
Nice.
For
nice.
Sure. I mean, you haven't played that game until you've had a sex change, you know?
It's funny, because that's what people know about this game. It's like, you can talk to a person who's, like, you know, not knows about this game, that's never played it, and they'll know that, oh, there's, like, this, the well or wherever where you can go and get a sex change.
Yeah, good times. All right,
what are you buying out?
Kiro.
Kiro. Oh, yes, that weird thing. That, the
Kiro,
one with the thing.
Yeah, so this was I don't know, last year I think it came out, and it had those really cool semi-truck timers, and then the mechanism around it was actually pretty cool, too, where you, like, you were pushing your luck with dice, and as you were doing that, you were losing gas, and then later in the round, you'd have to get gas again. Like, it was a really cool game, but or mechanism, I should say, but at the end of the day, it just felt like you were just, like, rolling dice and rolling dice and rolling dice and rolling and rolling and rolling, and it was too much. It was just too much. It was okay, but, yeah, not a keeper. Mm. Too much rolling dice. And that's that.
I can't believe you don't like rolling dice.
Sean, I have a request for you.
Request for me? What's up?
Yeah. If you ever get rich and buy yourself a large boat, please make it so that it goes,
like a sheep? Yes, that would be awesome. That would be amazing.
Please.
That would be amazing.
It's never going to happen, is it?
Oh, you're crazy. Well, your problem was saying, Sean, if you ever get rich, it was over then. Of course,
can convince someone.
Unfortunately, if I ever get rich, my number one priority will be to get a giant vault like Scrooge McDuck and fill it with board games so I could dive into them.
Oh, that would be lovely. Just bits.
Right? That's it. Yeah. Oh, even better than board games. Yeah, just fill it with bits.
Just bits.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
All the bits,
baby. Scrooge McDuck in it.
All right. Well, is that a show?
I think that's a show. I know you're about to say something, but we have to let our users know, our listeners know, in case they don't know about this whole iTunes thing, is that you now need to go to Apple Podcasts if you're going to do the thing that Michelle's about to tell you to do at the end of the show, to leave us a review. If you want to do that.
Oh, yeah, because is that because iTunes is?
Because they blew up iTunes into 3 separate parts. So the one you have to concern yourself with, fair bitsers, is Apple Podcasts or whatever you listen on, whether it's Google Play or Stitcher or SoundCloud, thingamabob that there is.
Look at you knowing all the things.
All these things. Leave us a review, please. It helps people see, I think, maybe helps people see us more, get us more.
Mm-hmm.
Visibility, that's the word I'm looking for. Visibility.
Spread the love.
Spread the love. Don't spread what I spread. Just spread the love.
Just spread the love. Okay, before we let Sean go any further, let's close out the show. We just want to say thanks again to all of you amazing listeners and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world bringing joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you are playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
I am also recording right now.
That is good that you are also recording right now.
I agree.
Let's talk the whole episode like this.
No,
it would be awesome. I'm gonna get
everything is awesome. I don't know the tune to that.
Well, two of the three games that you talked about, you have played. I have played. Wow.
Yeah, so you cool. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Ice, right. Ice Cool and Obsession, right? Okay.
Yeah. Ice Cool. Nah.
All right.
Nah.
You could start all whenever right. You want.
Okay. I am going to start okay. In three. Uh-oh. Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 42.
In this episode's bits, we'll talk about Obsession, Res Arcana, Ice Cool, Tudor, Yentes, and Nagaraga, or Najaraja. We'll discuss the BGG threat. Oh, actually, are we discussing BGG threat?
We are not. We're
not.
Today.
I'm going to start this part over.
Okay, I'll do mine, too, so I'm not laughing.